Grant, if you had to describe your music to somebody who's never heard it before, how would you do that?
I think if James Brown, Al Green, and Skrillex had a baby, it would be Grizz.
I'm Nick Lippa here with Grant Kwasinski, more famously known as Grizz. There's a lot going on musically here. Tell me, how did that all come to be with all those influences?
There's certain parts of me that really wants to dance and certain parts of me that really wants to like go deep. I love like the sensual R&B soul like chords and feels and bass lines and grooves. And then I love like big banging beats and like hip hop sentiment stuff and like funky guitar rhythms. And I just like, I don't know, I think that just the stuff that I listen to that I love, I wanted to put it all into one kind of sound. And I guess you just have to see it for yourself to see how it kind of comes together. But somehow it does. I feel like the shows are, they offer so many different kinds of moods, and there's just like this underlying pulse behind it. And that's like the kind of like the intangible, you know, like that's like the magic of it all. Like the thing that you could describe, but I think that words don't do it justice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, one way I've seen you describe it before is future funk. What is future funk?
that was a term that I put together many years ago. I was posting all my music on SoundCloud for free, and it asked you for a genre, and I was like, well, I guess it's kind of like funk, and I guess it's kind of like this new EDM culture stuff, but I guess it doesn't really fit either of those two things exactly. So I was like, maybe to me, it sounds like this music, but like a future version of it, which is weird because like it's being created now. So to call your music something that's future is a little bit like self-serving in a way, because you're kind of saying that you are like some future being thing. But it is a current thing. It feels like that genre of like this, like it has this like backbeat, this like attitude. Like funk is really like it's like an attitude, you know? It's not necessarily like you have to be like, oh, okay, cool, like that is funk music, you know? Because you like, it's just like a word, you know? Like you throw in like a casual conversation, like, oh, that's funky, you know? And I think that the Grizz music has the funk attitude, but it kind of comes from this place of like a futuristic kind of musical sentiment, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, let's tie that in. On your new album, Ride Waves, which just came out this past April, you get to play with legendary bass player Bootsy Collins, as well as some other musicians. Tell me, what's it like to collaborate with Bootsy Collins?
Well, I mean, the first thing I think I got to mention is that it just blows me away. It doesn't feel very real, you know, because he invented funk music in a way. Him and there's a whole lot of people that contributed to that, but that was, you know, I had this song and I was like, I feel like this needs like the certified stamp of approval, and if we could send it to him and he digs it, I feel like that's, you know, it. We get the factory approved, like from the source, like, all right, cool, this is funk music. And just needed his voice on it, and I needed that input. So we sent it to him. He's like, this is awesome, I'd love to contribute. And we actually got to perform the song live with Bootsy Collins in Detroit last year. It was insane. You
You can't cool me down, I'm too hot. It's astronomical, baby. Now, did you? A kid from the mitten, born with the rhythm, picked up a record, couldn't stop listening. Found his salvation, knew he was different, breaking all the rules, and they tried to fix him.
When we're talking about Bootsy College, you're relatively younger. You're 28. What's it like to be able to create music with somebody like him that you grew up listening to?
I feel like in a way it's kind of like both of us understanding each other. Because I feel like I do understand his music and what it means to me. But I just wasn't there at the time that that music was shaping culture. So it was a perspective adjuster, you know, like I was able to sit down with him and have a conversation, and it helped give me context to like the whole thing. I don't know, you know, like I wasn't there for it. So to be able to be with him and be in that presence, it really helped me understand and gave me that feeling that this is a live, actual thing, and it was inspiring, and also like super, super humbling to have somebody with so much of a stake in the game for it, and to be able to kind of like vibe that energy with him in person. It's a game changer for me, really.
On this album, you don't just collaborate with Bootsy Collins, Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, a bunch of others. How do you get to a point in your career where you're collaborating with all these big names?
Well, you produce music, you know, like I've been producing music since I was 14. So the greater second half of my life has been working on music. And I think at that time, if I would have sent these people music, they probably would have been like, they probably would have laughed, you know? It just comes down to like a long lineage of working with people and understanding how to make music and understanding like what the production process is to be able to even like put my hat into that ring, you know, like I've put in my time and grown my craft to a point where you can then introduce these people to your music and not be seen as a buster. You know, you gotta build your profile and build your vibe and like my circle doesn't just run into their circle, you know, like that's not really how that goes and it's not like we're like close friends, you know, it's like we kind of have to come at it with like a, hey, we've got a profile of hard work and awesome music to back it up. And then you can kind of like marry the two artist names, you know, on the tune and work on like what you have to offer as far as like, is this a respectable thing or not? You know, because I think from their perspective, they're like, they're not just going to do anything with anybody. So I think it says a lot about us. And it says a lot, you know, more about them and the fact that they're willing to work with somebody who in their eyes is very still up and coming and you know, send them beats and be like, then them have them get back to me like, yo, this is something that's cool. Like I mess with this. Like this is something I want to put my name on and I'm inspired to get involved with. And it was just like such an honor to be able to work with these guys and have them feel inspired by the music. Like that is such a great feeling.
Can you give me one of your favorite songs you love to play live if you had to give that introduction to Baby's First Grizz?
I would say two tunes. The first one is I'm Good, because it's got like that saxophone line to it. It's got all of like the positive like you know what? Like life is awesome kind of lyrics to it. That's a song that I wrote and produced in New Orleans, and that's like the quintessential Grizz vibe, I feel like. Is Grant goes down to New Orleans, links up with his homies at this studio, and it's just like a funky, fun thing. You know, it's not like, it's not too deep, but it's not too just like too poppy. It's like a fun tune. Just throw it on, dance, and just lose yourself in the rhythm of it. You know, it's all about a rhythm vibe. And then the other one I would say is the Bootsy Collins tune, because goddamn, that's a fun song. And it's so much fun to perform. It's like, you know, one of the first tunes I've ever like put my vocals on, because all the time I'm like recording my own vocal demos and sending them to singers to like sing my top lines. But I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna do it. Like, I've watched enough Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like do this like style rhythm thing, like, all right, cool, like I like that's the kind of the vibe that I want to do, this Will Smith like pseudo thing. And also like the Bootsy Collins thing on it, man, like we were talking about, that just feels so right. And like I said, when I had a chance to meet him, and we did that show together, like during that conversation I had with him, I felt like I was talking with God, man. Like, he pulled me aside, got in real close, and was like not whispering, but like just very lightly talking to me and dropping some wisdom that completely changed my perspective on shit. And that was like one of the most insane experiences I think I've ever had.
Something that people might not know about you is that you went through an 8-month-long social media blackout that you wanted to focus on personal self-discovery. Can you tell me a little bit about that process?
I think there's a lot of pressure to be present in the social media world as a musician, like in this contemporary music realm. Because that's your number one way to communicate with people, and it's like the new way to be able to promote everything. It's almost like a standard that you feel like all of your fans are on social media interacting with you, and that's like your conduit to them. You know, it's not this like distant thing anymore. You know, it's like all these artists are like on Twitter and you can talk to them directly, and it's insane. Which puts so much effort, or not effort, but to put so much pressure on the artist to, I don't know, like be an actor in a way, like to always have a presence with fans, and it doesn't create like any privacy. And I always felt like social media is kind of like anti-creative. You know, it's inspiring for sure to see other people's work, but also when you're just consuming and consuming and consuming, it doesn't really leave much space for you to be able to create your own world. Everything is just like seen through your phone screen, seen through this flat pixelated 2D thing. And that's not what life is. Life is full spectrum, 3D, immersive. You are in it. This is it, man. And I feel like if I'm just living on my phone, I am so locked into this like stream of consciousness that isn't even mine. And I want to live my life. So I needed to like, I was like, listen, I'm not feeling so super great about anything right now, and I keep wasting my time by surfing through social media, feeling like I get these small little like endorphin rushes from posting something and getting a few likes. It's like, that really in my life, what I feel like is real and tangible and important. So I need to reassess, and I need to find what's important to me. I need to create outside of criticism or praise, and I need to live on my own. Somebody on my team's husband said this, and he was out to dinner with her, and he said, I love having dinner with you, but right now I feel like I'm having dinner with me, you, and 5 million other people that are chilling in your pocket right now, you know? It's just a huge distraction, and I needed to get myself out of that, and I needed to readjust my perspective, and I needed to live my own life, because if I'm living in the now, that's the best way that I can extend my quality of life. Just live in the now and live my life. That's what I wanted to do.
Reflecting on all of that, do you feel like you came out healthier at the end of this process?
Yeah, that's so important. And I think that's the big message here is that even though I might have more followers on Twitter or whatever it might be, it does not negate and should not negate the fact that the pressure I feel posting something or having people criticize or having people praise me on social media outlets, it is the exact same feeling that you get when it's just like 4 people commenting or whatever it might be, you know? It's the same. And those pressures are the same. It's like the new peer pressure like situation, you know? And we're dealing with like with new side effects of social media and that like kind of like ultra connection. It's super positive, but in another way it can be really negative. I think that it is so important to be able to create spaces in your life where you are abstaining from consuming yourself in the social media realm, and you're finding time to just chill. Like, I think like Bjork said it, she was like, Facebook is ruining our lives, everybody needs to go on a walk, you know? And it's just like that old school, old fashioned like vibe that we need so much more of. Like, we need that. We need the no phone, just using your phone to call people, like not texting all the time, not being on Twitter, not being on the gram. Like, we need that time to be humans, you know? Otherwise, we kind of turn into this, like, these robots that are just consuming digital information all the time. It's too much. I just want to, like, sit in the sun for, like, 5 minutes today and enjoy what that feels like without my phone.